brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As I do many days, I've been reflecting on the great love that God has for us and His call to us to love others as He has loved us. There's a passage in Scripture from 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 that says this: "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. But if we don't know the love of God," this is not an excuse to not love, "but if we don't know the power of God's love for us, if we don't live in it and walk in it, how can we love one another?" So I want you to reflect a little bit today. Am I drawing in my daily life, am I drawing on the conviction and the certainty of God's love for me so that I in turn can, in a certain sense, pass that love on to others? We can't love everybody on our own strength. In fact, sometimes we think we can't love anybody on our own strength, and that's true too. It is the love of God in us that enables us to love one another. So take a look at yourself and say, am I drawing on the love that God has for me? Am I living in the certainty of God's love for me? Then, in turn, I can pass that on to others. Just a thought that I wanted to pass on before we look at the readings for today. A reading from the letter of James, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. "Beloved, come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business, and make a profit.' You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow." Think of that. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. "You are a puff of smoke," says James, "that appears briefly and then disappears. Instead, you should say, 'If the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that.' Now, you are boasting in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is a sin." Let me read that again, because I want this to penetrate your hearts. It's logic, it's clear, but how often do we live by this? "Beloved, come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business, and make a profit.' Now the Lord goes on to say, 'You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow.' We can surmise it'll be like this or be like that, but we don't know what tomorrow brings. We can't see ahead. He says, 'You are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. Instead, you should say, 'If the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that.'" In other words, bring the Lord, His will, His love into every aspect of your life. Rely on Him. Turn to Him. Share Him with others. The responsorial psalm is from Psalm 49. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means that you're not the source of your life. God is the source of your life. You're not alone in the sense that it is entirely up to you what you do, say, think. God does give you a free will, so in actuality, you can live like that. But you don't want to live like that. You don't want to live like that. You want to live in a way that you express your reliance upon God every day in everything. It doesn't mean you have to say it every minute, but all the decisions you make, the conversations you have, realizing that your life is drawn from the life of Christ. You don't have life independently of Christ, really. And so we live in recognition of that. We live in gratitude of that. We turn to God a lot during the day, or should, acknowledging his goodness, thanking him for what he supplied, coming to him with our needs. Walk with him. Live with him. Speak with him. He is here. He is present. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. One of the verses from this Psalm 49 says, "Why should I fear in evil days when my wicked ensnarers ring me round? They trust in their wealth, the abundance of their riches is their boast. Yet in no way can a man redeem himself or pay his own ransom to God. Too high is the price to redeem one's life. He would never have enough to remain alive always and not see destruction." In other words, the reason we have life and the reason that we continue in existence is because of the love of God. So those who are poor in spirit acknowledge that I am not the source of my life, but God is. Thank him and draw close to him, because he would desire to lead you more deeply in that understanding and give you the freedom and the joy and the hope that God desires for you. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 40. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." Brothers and sisters, I don't think we understand how intimately God is present in our lives. I don't think we understand that, because if we did understand it, there would be a lot more peace in the world, a lot more confidence, not in ourselves, but in him. See, we're so focused on ourselves that we look to ourselves, or we look to people around us for the answers to whatever may be troubling or plaguing us in this life. We turn to others rather than, "Lord, here I am." At least go to the Lord first. "Here I am, Lord. I need your help. I need you to help sustain me. I need wisdom. I need counsel. I need direction." Always going to God. Always turning to God. The scripture is so clear. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we're poor in spirit when we don't see ourselves as the be-all and the end-all, when we don't see ourselves as the source. We are a blessing that comes from the source. My life is good because God gave it to me, but I'm not the source of my life. So as the scriptures tell us today, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's what poor in spirit means. I don't see myself as the source. I don't depend on myself as the source. The kingdom of heaven, then, is mine. The kingdom of heaven is what God desires to give me. I'm not made just for this life, brothers and sisters. This is the stepping stone to eternal life. Do I believe that? Do I live out of that paradigm? Do I live out of that perspective? We need to. We need to. There is so much, brothers and sisters, that God desires to give us, so much that he hopes we will receive from him. But so often we're such a self-enclosed creature. We look to ourselves for every answer, or we look to other people for every answer. It's fine to look to other people for help when we need it. That's fine. But the question is, how am I daily thinking about my place in that picture? I am a recipient. I am not the origin. I am the recipient of life and of eternal love. I'm the recipient of it. My call is to give it, to share it with others. But I'm not the source of my own life. And we need, that's why prayer is so important. That's why the attending Mass is so important. It's because we need to come to the source, the real source. What if we said, well, maybe once a month I'll go because I'm thirsty, so I'll go once a month. How long do you think you'd live if you didn't drink for a month? Not very long. But that's often what we do. We look to the things of this world to satisfy us. They can be a help, but they're not the source. They're not the origin. They're not the creator. I'm not the creator. I am a son or daughter of God who is the creator. And the nearer we draw to him, the closer we come to him, the more life we receive. And then we don't take the credit to ourselves, but we return the honor and the glory and the thanksgiving to him. Now, let me add a footnote there. Some of us have particular gifts. And when people acknowledge our gifts, don't say, oh, no, it's not me, it's God. You're the recipient of it because God wants to use you. He's given you this gift. He shared this gift with you because he wants you to use it for his kingdom. Blessed be God. So when you use that gift and it bears fruit and other people thank you, you can say something like, I appreciate that. You're very welcome. I'm very glad to be used by God. But the source of whatever gift I have, the source is God. And then when you're alone, you turn to God himself and you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for using me. Thank you for allowing your gifts to flourish in me. Always turn to the source. And you're going to experience God drawing even closer to you, even closer to you, because you are becoming poor in spirit. I'm not the origin. I'm not the source. And I give my life to the one who gave me life. I give my life, I give my talent, I give my treasure, I give everything for his honor and glory because he's the one who brought me into existence. If that's not your orientation, begin to think that way. Ask the Holy Spirit. This is the way you approach it. You say, Holy Spirit. You don't have to have these exact words, just the heart of it. Holy Spirit, help me to be sensitive to your inspirations. Help me to see that I am the recipient of the treasures of God. I'm not the origin. But I want to glorify God through what I think and say and do. Help me to take my rightful place. You see, indicating that you're not the source doesn't mean that God's graces are not working through you and you can thank him for being used by him. But always remember that he is the source of all that is good. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.